This is Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. I'm Levi. With me is Lisa and Travis. And today, we're going to be talking about just being tired, because all they do is complain about being tired. And that's not true.
Who is they? Us?
That's just not true.
Travis, not fair.
That's not true. I think we're all of humanity is a little bit tired. And it's a weird time in life, in the sense of history of life. We have more things that are able to give us more time or promise us rest and relaxation than ever in the history of humanity. Like, you can go home tonight and probably watch as much Netflix as you would like. And it just streams without commercials. How wonderful is that?
It'll keep on going.
It'll just keep on going, right? You can push your button on your phone, and I could do that right now and vacuum my house. Or you can do lots of different things. Like, that was just not the case, right? 50 years ago, even. It's just, we have more access to vacations. We have more access to many things that are supposed to produce a relaxation in us or a recouping in us. Ever been on vacation and you're like, get back from vacation, you're like, oh my goodness, I need a break from my vacation.
Yep.
You've been there? Yeah. Because I'm not sure that those things that we believe that are going to do that, they're all good and some of them are entertainment and some of us save us time, but I'm not sure they actually refresh us in the way that we are designed to be refreshed. And so today we're going to just look at a passage of scripture where Jesus is talking to some Pharisees, and he's talking about something called Sabbath, a rest day. And they got it all mixed up, just like we kind of get things mixed up. They got it all mixed up, but we're going to read it out of Mark chapter 2 and starting in verse 23. Lisa, would you read that?
Sure. One Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you ever never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for anyone but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him?" And he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath."
Yeah, I think it's just an interesting take that Jesus has in this passage. And we can look at Sabbath, and Sabbath is not a command of God for us as followers of Jesus. And we'll get to that in just a little bit. But it is something that is provided as a gift from God. And it's a gift from them. It's a command to the Israelites that they were not supposed to work. They were supposed to set one day apart at the end of the week. And it's supposed to represent and it's supposed to symbolize them being taken out of slavery. And that God institutes that right after they're taken out of slavery out of Egypt. And so for 400 years, I'm not sure that they had a day off, right? And so generation after generation, they didn't know or understand a day off. And now God comes out, he's there, and he says, "Hey, you're going to take one day, and you're going to remember that I took you out of slavery, that I'm your savior, that I'm your provider, I'm the one who gives you all of these things." And so that's the root of Sabbath. And so when these people see Jesus, these Pharisees see Jesus, they go, "Why? This is a godly man," or he says he's a God man. Like, what in the world is going on? He doesn't believe or he doesn't hold to this thing that God has given us. But they had turned it by that point to not being a gift from God, but a burden from God. And if you read anything about the Pharisees, they had like 39 different laws, and one of them was don't pluck grain from, you know, the wheat field. And so when he did this, this was disrespectful in a sense to them, because they felt like they were trying to earn their salvation. But that's never really what it was about. It was about a recognizing that God is a giver of good gifts, and that God was giving them a gift of a day off of work, which is Sabbath, to stop or to cease, Shabbat, I think is actually the word. And they're stopping to remember and stopping to understand that God's their provider, not their hands, not their chaos. And he refers back to this picture in the very start of Genesis. And the second chapter talks about God. It talks about the days. Day one, he did this. Day two, he did this. Day three. And then it gets to the sixth day, and he looks at it, and he goes, woo! God looks at his creation, goes, this is not just good. This is very good. And then it pushes him into this rest. So he enjoys the creation, and then he rests in that creation. And I think the Pharisees, by this point, had this thing turned around. And I think sometimes you and I, all of us, get our rest or try to get our rest in a place where it doesn't really give us rest. And then Jesus says another interesting statement in there. In verse 28, he says, the Son of Man is the Lord, even of the Sabbath. Jesus is the rest. Jesus is, that's what he's saying. He's the one who controls all this. He's the one who gives us rest. In Matthew chapter 11, he says the same thing. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's this promise that if we come to Jesus, there's rest in this. That's different than watching and numbing our minds with Netflix, going on a vacation and probably spending a little bit too much money and chasing kids around. And all of that stuff is fun and good and all of those things, but it doesn't give us the rest that we're actually desiring in the midst of this.
I think that Jesus is really such a forceful character in every encounter that we see Jesus in, especially with the Pharisees. The Pharisees have this idea, much like we do, of how the things should go. And their idea, they think, leads them to worship and leads them to God. And he shows up and he's like, no, you've got it all wrong. Even in your right, you have it wrong. And I find that pretty pretty compelling anyways, or convicting, I suppose.
Yeah, I kind of take his comment there in verse 27, 28. It was kind of sarcastic to the Pharisees, because they're yelling at these guys like, you're not supposed to harvest on the Sabbath. I think that comes out of Exodus.
Somewhere. It's not in the 10th commandment.
Yeah.
Or it's in chapter, the 10 commandments.
Chapter 20, the 10 commandments, but I think there's one of no harvesting later on in like chapter 34 or something.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And so like they're not harvesting. They left the people, the farmers would leave the edges of their fields untouched so that people passing through would have something to eat. They wouldn't overwork their laborers and all that stuff. And the Pharisees are just taking this thing a step further. And it's like they're not, the disciples and Jesus are not sitting there with their sickles and their harvesting tools and threshing wheat at that point. They're just having a little snack on the way. So I think like to see it from the Pharisees' perspective is like they're trying to add in to God's law. And so I love when Jesus comes to that verse in 27 and talking and 28 about talking about the Son of Man is even the Lord of the Sabbath. And he's kind of like, you guys got it wrong. You just got it wrong. Like,
yeah, they had switched it where it was about them doing something from God. Like God was enslaving them again.
Mm-hmm.
And remember when this thing was instituted, it was instituted right after they were enslaved. And God was going, you haven't had a day off in 400 years. I'm going to give you this day off. So that you can know that I'm your God, that I can, and it's like this covenant sign. It's the Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments are. And so it's this covenant that he has with his people to say, man, this is how good I am. I'm not like these other masters. I'm different than that.
Well, the irony of that is that the disciples are walking with Jesus, God in the flesh, and they're like, whoa, you're not supposed to do that. And he's like, oh, no. The Son of Man is even the Lord of this thing, and you don't understand that these guys were a little bit hungry, they needed a snack, but they're hanging out with me.
Yeah, I think I was just thinking of the children of Israel and all the years that they were enslaved, and they come out of slavery, and God institutes this thing, and it's partly about rest, but it's also the recognition that they could not have gotten out of slavery on their own, that the provision of God is all God's work to do. And so then when I, and then what, Travis, what you just said is really interesting. They weren't harvesting on the Sabbath, right? If they were harvesting, it would have been their own field. You don't harvest somebody else's field unless you're a hired person. And so that wasn't even the situation. What Jesus is doing is much like what happens with Ruth and Boaz in the book of Ruth, where they're going behind just collecting the provision of another. And that, I think, to me, is one of the beautiful things about Sabbath. It's the recognition every time that God is the one who takes care of all the things. I rest because God has it, because God has it all under control. And that, I think, is something really kind of cool to think about.
So Jesus, in the first story, he tries to correct their understanding of Sabbath. But this doesn't stop right there. It goes on into another story. And the second story is found right after it in Mark chapter 3. Lisa, will you read 1 through 5?
Sure. Again, he entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, "Come here." And he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. And he looked around at them with anger, grieved at the hardness of their heart, and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched out his hand, and his hand was restored. And the Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him.
Again, he actually doesn't work. He just tells the guy to open his hand and heals him. But I think it's a very public place that Jesus calls them out and calls it into question. And if you look at verse 2, some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. So they watched him closely. There's a church tradition that kind of speaks into this. And one is that this guy's hand that was withered or paralyzed would be the word that we would use. He was a stonemason, and something happened. There was an accident, and this guy couldn't provide for himself anymore. He couldn't provide for his family. He couldn't do any of those things. So that's one of the church kind of, I don't know if it's true, but it's a story that's been passed down of who this guy was. The other one is really, I think, interesting, is that the Pharisees actually planted this guy there to see if Jesus would do what he was not supposed to try to catch him, to try to entrap him in this. Because I think they're still a little bit angry about what he said to them in the field, and that he was kind of calling them out there. And they're like, okay, we'll get him here in front of all of these people. And he calls them out in the midst of this. And when he says, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill it?" But they remained silent. He was calling the Pharisees out in that moment. And I think it probably angered them, right? It probably got them pretty upset to have Jesus doing that in the midst of this. But they were watching him and trying to trap him in the midst of this.
Well, and the irony in that, too, is that they're trying to accuse Jesus of doing something illegal. And then right after he says, "Stretch out your hand," and the guy's hand is healed, they go to plot murder, which is also illegal.
Well, Jesus is doing good, and they're doing evil. Like, he knows that they're doing evil in the midst of this and in their hearts. And he's the words at the end where it says that he's angry at them, and it says he's distressed. It means he's saddened in his heart that they don't understand, that they missed it again. He gave this or tried to help them to understand. First off, he tried to help them to understand that God is the provider. The next thing he tries to help them to understand is that the Sabbath was meant for them to heal. And it's a healing thing that happens within the Sabbath. When we go to God, when we receive the goodness of God in the midst of this, there's a healing that comes. And again, go back to where this all started. It started in the middle, or right after they were let go from slavery, and God's going, "Man, I am your provider. I want to heal some of those wounds of having 400 years. Your great-great-granddaddy didn't have a day off, but you do because of me and because of what I've done. because I provided salvation for you. And all I'm asking you to do is to hang with me and allow me to begin to heal your heart. And so I think when that picture there of him being distressed or deeply saddened is that he knows he can't heal them because they're rejecting him. They're rejecting the one who is the Lord of the Sabbath. He is the one who can provide. He is the one who can bring this all about in for them, this healing. And he can't do anything because they're rejecting him. One of the things that I think is interesting is in the Ten Commandments, just we know the Ten Commandments, Exodus chapter 20, and some of you probably could quote all of them. And this is the fourth one. It's actually before murder. I think maybe you take a Sabbath so you don't murder. I don't know.
it works that way for me.
But it's the one of the Ten Commandments that's not repeated in the New Testament. And it is not a command from God for followers of Jesus to take a Sabbath. With that said, it's not a command. It's not our commitment or our sign of a new covenant, because they were in a Mosaic covenant with God. They're in this relational covenant. Our new sign is called communion or the Lord's Supper. Or some call it the Eucharist. That is the sign that says we have this new covenant. There's a new way. And that way is Jesus, his blood shed for us for the remission of sin. And so I know that's a lot of theological talk, but we don't have to do that. We're not commanded to do that. We're not stoned for working on that. But it is still a gift from the provision of God. It's still a rhythm of this life. It's still how the world works. There's a church historian, a Jewish historian, who talks about this. His name is Josephus, and maybe you guys have read this, but he talks about how that all of Rome understands this intrinsically. And he's looking at Rome and how people take a day off. And he's like, look, everyone understands that you have to have days off. I think what's interesting, though, is it goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning. You can watch all the Netflix you want. You can do all of these other things. You can go on vacation. You can do all of the, I don't know, whatever, what's your thing that you go, man, this really relaxed, maybe a massage or whatever. You can do all of those things, but you won't find the rest that Jesus is talking about. You won't find it without him. And so while we are not commanded, I think that there is some amount of brilliance in practice. And the brilliance in practice of practicing Sabbath, or practicing really a day off that we go, man, God, you are a provider, you are a healer. Here's all my ouchies for this week. Here's all my anxiety. And just making sure it's an intentional time is, I think it still does that. I think it's still the promise that Jesus made. All of you who are burdened or heavy laden, or you've worked and you've got some ouchies, you come to me and I will give you rest. Jesus is our Sabbath. Jesus is the one who provides that rest. And I don't know about you guys, but I practice a form of Sabbath on a regular basis. Fridays for me is I don't really look at my phone very much. I check it once. I don't do certain things. And there's how I define Sabbath is this. It's celebration of creation and celebrate of creator. And so both of those things have to be in play for me to have a proper Sabbath. And so I'm going to do some things that are a celebration of creation. So for me, I like to get up. I like to maybe play a little basketball in the morning. I like to go and then do some yard work or some snow blowing now, whatever. And I like to get kind of some task done. And there's a widget that's formed in that for me. Our job doesn't have many widgets. We don't have little blocks of wood or things that we can go, oh, we accomplished this week. But for me, there's something, it's like the chaos of the world comes to order and mowing the lawn for me. And I go, man, this is really cool. Like this is, I have dominion over my lawn today. I don't ever really say that, but I would, so I think for me, that's my celebration. But that void of spending time with Jesus is not really a Sabbath for me. And I have to have concentrated time of praying, reading scripture, or listening. I often listen to it. Sometimes it's on the mower, I'm praying. Here's the things that happened this week, God. This are the things that are really disturbing my heart right now. And really releasing those things to him, man, that is good for my soul. And it really, truly does give me rest.
Do you think that there are consequences of not taking Sabbath? Like when you think about the things that God instituted, most of the time, like, there are consequences. If you murder someone, you know, bad things happen. And I wonder, like, even though it's not the same, we're not commanded to do it, as you say, rightly. Are there consequences, do you think, of not Sabbathing?
I think so. I mean, I think when I find myself in those rhythms, I lose sight of who is in control. And I'm not resting, because I think for me sometimes, and maybe for others, the resting part can be like, well, I've got too much to get done. I need to do this. I need to do that. I need, instead of taking that day of rest and recognizing God's goodness and his provision for you, where it's like, okay, like, God, you are in control. So you, through me, need to work on this stuff. It becomes kind of ragged when you don't take those moments.
Yeah, I think the consequence is we're not commanded to do Sabbath. We're not bound to it the same way they were, because it was a covenantal sign. But I think when we don't do it, it's a promise that we're invited to enjoy that we miss out on. It's like someone planned a birthday party for you and you go, I'm not going to that, even though there's sweet gifts there for you. That's how I think of it, is like when you don't do it, you're missing out on the goodness of God and the provision of God and what he wants to do in your heart and in your life, the healing that he wants to bring in the midst of this. And I think that is the consequence of it, is really, you should have some FOMO if you don't do it.
What do you think some of the reasons are that people choose not to rest? Like, I mean, for me, as I said earlier, it's that I think I can take care of it. And most of the time I have a God complex where I think I can figure it out on my own. I admit that. But I just wonder, like, what do you think the main reasons why people say, I don't think I can do that. I can't take a Sabbath.
I think there's all kinds of reasons why people don't do it. We think other things will give us rest. My comfy PJs sitting and watching my Netflix account. You know, I like a good show. I'm not going to lie. I like to laugh. I like the suspense of a good movie. I enjoy a good show. But if I do that all day long, it fails to bring me rest. It actually exhausts me, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think for other people, there's some like anxieties. Like, I got to get all this stuff done. That's an anxiety.
Yeah.
The reality is you probably don't. I can probably have weeds in my yard and it's not going to be like, we live in the UP. It's one of the glories of living up here. It doesn't matter.
That is a majority of your yard.
Yeah, right. And so I think it's also like we run around because we feel guilty. We feel guilty because we didn't get to this relationship, or we didn't do this for our kids, or we didn't do whatever that may be in the midst of this. And I think that there's this pressure, both internal and culturally, that we have to get all of this stuff done, and we have to have, you know, our Facebook account updated properly, or whatever your thing is, or your Instagram, or we have to have the perfect picture, or we have to have the perfect this. And I think some of that stuff gets in the way of us just going, man, I'm going to rest in you, God, and know that you're going to provide the goodness that you want for me.
Well, and I was going to tag off of that, because I think we don't know how to rest. Like, we have kids in various ages, and they don't know how to be bored, because there's always some type of, whether it's through your phone or TV or video games or whatever, there's some type of mind stimulation that constantly goes on. And if we don't take a moment to focus in and intentionally unplug on that, like when we don't have anything to do and I don't have anything to do, it's really hard just to calm down, get my brain to settle down and be like, okay, God, we're going to spend some time together, just quiet, nothing.
Yeah, I think also is looking for activities that don't drain you.
Mm-hmm.
And that that actually fill you. Like for me, and I'm just going to be really honest, I don't hang out with people on Friday that are, that know me just as Pastor Levi. And there's a reason, but if you know me well and I can just be Levi, I will hang out with you. I really enjoy that. But being on in that, that Pastor Levi, that title, that, that hat I have to wear, that stuff is really draining to me. And so I don't normally hang out with, sometimes I do. It's not because I don't like them, and it's not because I don't have, find like some fun in that, but fulfillment and fun are two different things. And I think that's an important thing, is learning what are the things that fill you. Cutting wood fulfills me. I do not know why. It is, I'm not even sure most people would think it's fun, but there is something fulfilling about that to me. Mowing the lawn is fulfilling to me. And so those are the things that I'm looking, things that actually fill me and don't drain me in the creation part. And then just being intentional about just spending time with Jesus. And if I do one without the other, if I just celebrate creation and I forget the creator, it does not work. And so I think both of those components have to be really a part of that. And so if you're a listener and you're just tired and you're just going, man, I need rest, Jesus is the place you find it. We'll just tell you that straight up and try it for a day. Just say, hey, I'm going to unplug. I'm going to find the places that I need to plug into that fill me. Think about that and open your Bible. Start reading the book of Mark and spend some time with Jesus. And he says that he will give you rest. And so hold to that promise, live that promise, and enjoy that promise, because Sabbath is a gift from our Creator.
Thanks for tuning in with us. We hope you guys enjoyed this episode. If you'd like to catch up on that or any of the previous episodes, you can find those at evangelup.org, or you can search Evangel Houghton on your preferred podcast platform. If you've got any comments or you have any recommendations of topics that you'd like us to cover, we'd love to hear from you. You can email those to Travis@evangelup.org.